أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، الإسلام والجنس، اللقاء السابع، ضوابط شرعية في الجماع. My brothers and sisters, this is the seventh lecture concerning sex in Islam, and we will be talking, inshallah, about the legal rulings concerning sexual intercourse between husbands and wives. Reality says that love and affection is like a tree, and it is irrigated by sayings and actions, and what kills that tree is silence. What do we get from that? Zakallah. We get from that that many relationships between husbands and wives are hidden. The expressions or the love that they have, they don't express it. They don't say it. They don't express it with words or with actions. They keep it to themselves. And what does that do? It kills that relationship that the husband and wife have. So usually, if you have the love, you should nourish it and you should express it and show it to the other partner. This is the way that you can increase the love, not the way that some people think. And the reason we emphasize that, because a lot of people think that if a man shows affection toward his spouse, this is like demeaning himself, or this is like not the quality of a real man. And this is, of course, contrary to what we have learned in Islam and what the Prophet ﷺ did. يقول الشيخ الشعراوي رحمه الله, he said, إن الله سبحانه وتعالى خلق الخلق لعمارة الدنيا لطاعته وجعل التناسل سببا لهذه العمارة وجعل قمة المتعة في العلاقة الجنسية حتى يقبل عليها الزوجين. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purpose of the creation is to inhabit earth. For what? For the purpose of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the offsprings or the progeny a mean for that inhabitants. And He made the sexual relationship so pleasurable to the point that, for the purpose of making the husband and the wife loving to do it, for the reason that it is the mean for those generations or for the offsprings that are going to inhabit earth and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, he's saying, لِأَنَّهَا تَرْتَبِتْ أَوْ سَيَنْتُجْ عَنْهَا مَشَاقَ عَظِيمًا. That if you, this is a relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made between husband and wife, and after having the children, you're going to have a lot of hardship dealing with the children and raising the children, spending on the children. All of that is too much hardship. So if the sexual pleasure was not so high and so much loved by men and women, husband and wife, then this purpose will not be there. Because if a person sees another person, how much he suffers with his children, especially if you have hard children and all that, then they would say, who cares about that? Why should I even get married? But this is a good explanation, a good understanding of the Shaykh. يقول وهي تربية الأولاد ولولا هذه المتعة لعزف الناس عن الزواج والخلفة. We have seen that how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his kindness and his relationship with his wives, and in general how he honored sallallahu alaihi wasallam and raised the status of women. Let it be a daughter, let it be a mother, let it be a wife, let it be a relative. Women in general, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam really honored women in every aspect, and he recommended and enjoined upon us so many duties and responsibilities to take care of that and to make sure that it is well taken care of. A woman, a specialist in a television interview, she said, "Dinun al-Hanif 'allama ar-rajul kayfa yata'amal ma' zawjatih." Our wonderful religion taught men how to deal with their spouse, with their wife. هذا الرجل الذي أعطاه سبحانه وتعالى الطاقة الجنسية الهائلة والحب الشديد لها علمه كيف يداعب ويقبل ويؤانس ويجامع منذ أكثر من 1425 سنة. فجيل الصحابة كان هو جيل التقدم وجيلنا هو جيل التخلف. This is a statement that was said by a woman in a television interview. She said, "Our religion have taught men how to deal with their spouses." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave men this incredible love and power when it comes to sexual relationship or ability to have sex. And he, Islam, referring to Islam, she said, taught men how to fondle, how to tame, how to make love, all the way a long time ago, 1425 years ago. So in closing, she said, the generation of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are the civilized one, and our generation is the uncivilized one. And basically, the way you see it, people see everything so strange, and people talk about so many things, and like and dislike, and they go panting after what other people do, what other civilization do, and we have a lot better and much more in our religion if we really understand our religion and practice our religion the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how. Here is a hadith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we talk about those ahadith, I want you to understand how explicit those relationship has been taught about, or has been talked about, or taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the purpose of that, this is a religion. This is a religion. لا حياء في العلم. There is no shyness when it comes to learning. Learning your religion. If you don't understand all of this, yani I deal with people, and I deal with children, and I deal with teens and all of that, and you conclude that most people don't even know how to purify themselves, don't know what to do in the case of a wet dream. Some of them don't even know what to do after sexual relationship. They think that just simple clean yourself and simple wudu would do. They don't even, you will be shocked how people deal with that. Look at the hadith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إذا قعد الرجل بين شعابها الأربع وألصق الختان بالختان فقد وجب الغسل." Now, if you understand this hadith, here what it means: if the man, the husband, positioned himself between the hands and the legs of his wife, and he paced himself or glued his circumcised part with her circumcised part, then ghusl is a wajib, or ghusl is a must. You learn so many things in here, in this one hadith. When you talk about khitan and khitan, this is a proof that there is a khitan for women. And khitan is basically, when it comes to khitan, means circumcision. And this is for the man, it is cutting basically the hood over the penis. And for the woman, the hood over the clitoris. This is what khitan calls. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the khitan of the man with the khitan of the woman meet, then you must take a shower. Is this the way it is? No. The ulama, qala al-ulama, it means if there was an actual intercourse, not just simply by touching, if there was an actual intercourse, then that is when you have to make ghusl. كما يغيب المرود في المكحلة أو الرشا في البئر. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared it like those things that you like the mascara that you use for the eyes or for the eyelashes. When you dip that brush in the bottle, this is how he sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed the sexual act. Or like when you dip the bucket in the well. If that happens, then there would be a ghusl. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about that because there is something relating to tahara and something relating to salah. It is a condition for the salah. If you don't know how to make ghusl, then your salah is not accepted. So this is one. Also, أجمع العلماء على أنه لو وضع ذكره على ختانها ولم يولجه لم يجب الغسل لا عليه ولا عليها. A consensus among the scholar, if the circumcision of the man meets with the circumcision area of the woman, there is no ghusl. This is consensus of the scholars. So the actual intercourse is what requires that. Many people think not the intercourse itself, ejaculation is what makes the ghusl wajib, and this is not true either. طيب. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, alhamdulillah, in our religion from A to Z, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's either in the sunnah or in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly taught us how to worship him and how to serve him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نساؤكم حرث لكم فأتوا حرثكم أنا شئتم. نساؤكم حرث لكم. Your women, your wives are حرث. Harth is like the place where you plant. Plant what? The progeny. Yani the place where you make children. So approach your women any way you want, as long as it is in the place where you can produce children. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it vast and made it wide. And some people constrict themselves by inventing things that is not part of the religion, or they are trying to just come up with something from their tradition, or just simply because they don't like something, or they are ashamed of something, then they come up with conclusion, they come up with rules. This thing was common at the time Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Jews in Medina, they used to not approach women, their women, from the back. Okay? So the Ansar, radiallahu anhum, were influenced by them and heard about this and that. They used to say that if a man approaches his woman from behind to the place of Harth, yani where the child, yani to the right place, then their children will become cross-eyed. So the Ansar, yani you hear something all the time, this is what it is, this is what it is, you get to believe in that. So one of the companions, radiallahu an, he came to complain to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had done so, done this, approaching his wife from the rear. And he said, halakt, I'm destroyed, I'm doomed, I'm finished. Yani I have done something haram. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not answer him, waited for the revelation, and the revelation came. It says, your women are yours. Approach them any way, in any position, in any posture you want, as long as you are approaching them in the place where the child will be conceived. So this is one thing that the people used to do. So what are the conditions? What are the conditions that the legal ruling when it comes to sexual intercourse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, like number one, أن لا تكون في أن يكون في فترة الطهر للمرأة لا يجوز الجماع في حيض المرأة أو فترة الحيض. Now, sexual relationship has to be during the time that is not during the menstrual cycle. it has to be during the time that the woman is pure and clean. It is prohibited during the menstrual cycle, and we are talking about sexual intercourse. This is what is prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. Okay, they ask you about approaching their women during the menstrual cycle. The answer is, it is not good. It is harmful. So conclusion, فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. So isolate yourself from women. But what is the meaning of isolate yourself? Isolate yourself from doing the actual intercourse. Not isolate yourself from the woman, put her in another room or put her in a different place, or you can't touch her or you can't approach her or you cannot do anything else. No, that's not what it means. Just the place where the harm is, avoid that. Anything else is permitted. Also, well, the reason why, because again, the companions radiallahu anhum were influenced, as I mentioned, a lot with the people of the book. They used to, the people of the book, when the woman on the menstrual cycle, they don't sleep with her, they don't eat with her, they don't touch her, they stay even in a different room. And we know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do that. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that the woman would do a mi'zar, will wrap herself around the area where the harm is, and then everything else is permissible for the husband to approach his wife and enjoy himself without يعني, doing it in the place that it's haram and it is prohibited. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, يسألونك عن المحيض. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى يسألونك عن المحيض قل هو أذى فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيض. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جامعوهن في البيوت واصنعوا كل شيء غير النكاح. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told us that you can sleep with your spouses anyway, anything you want to do except actually sleeping with them where the harm is during the menstrual cycle. This is the only thing that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us here. Of course, you add to other things as we will go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, for instance, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about men who chase themselves, chase their privates from committing any haram with anyone except those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it halal for them, which is their wives, or their wives is one of them, and what their right hand possesses at the time of slavery. So, some people ask about al-'ada as-sirriyya. Al-'ada as-sirriyya, this is a question that some people ask about masturbation. Is it permitted? Is it not permitted? Is it haram? There are so many ahadith that talks about that, and they are not authentic. Yani, for instance, says a person who practices that, he will be in the hellfire. This is a hadith, da'if. But is it permitted? According to the ayah, no, it's not. Because those men who chase themselves, except from their wives and what their right hand possess, anything beyond that, they have transgressed the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning committed haram. When you talk about that, this is contradicting the masturbation. It's contradicting the manners. It is contradicting, it is enjoying the haram. And what really makes a person perform it, it is because they have been seeing the haram. They have been letting their vision just roam and look at anything, and God knows what they see and what they look at in order for them for themselves to go and enjoy that in the haram way. So this is prohibited. But can it be done by the spouse? There is no problem with that. The person himself cannot do it. Like we're talking in a case of in the time of menstrual cycle. Can this be done by the spouse? No problem with that. It is not haram. The person himself do it because your wife is your halal. Everything is halal except those things that we know, which is the place, sexual intercourse during the menstrual cycle, and avoiding the rectum. These are the two things haram at that point. Anything else is accepted. طيب, the second one, أن يكون في محل الولد وهو القبل, which is we already included that. Now when you do that sexual intercourse, it has to be in the place where children are born or children are conceived, which means avoiding the rectum. This is not the place, this is haram, and this is prohibited. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, this is the companion who came complaining to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, I'm doomed. Yesterday I changed the position." And he thought, according to what they hear, that he has done something prohibited. Then the ayah was revealed, and we know that this is accepted in any posture, in any way, as long as it is in the place where the child may be conceived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yastahi min al-haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the truth. And when it comes to the truth, it is said regardless of whether you will be shy from it or how you feel about it, it's irrelevant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the truth. Then he said that three times. La ta'tu an-nisaa fi adbarihin. Do not approach women in their rectum. This is haram. Command from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a different hadith, mal'oonun man ata al-mar'a aw imra'a fi duburiha. A person who does that is a cursed person by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith, man ata kahinan, if you go to a person who predicts the future and such, or sleep with your spouse from the rectum, or sleep with her during the menstrual cycle, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ, then he has the literal meaning of the hadith, disbelieved in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon his messenger. Now here, there's something to pay attention to. Does that mean he becomes a kafir? No, it does not. There is a rule that anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates Iman, negates faith from a person who did an action, and he says, like, if you do something, you will not be a mu'min, speaking to believers. Conclusion, this act is a major sin. يعني القاعدة, كل فعل نفى الله سبحانه وتعالى الإيمان عن فاعله فلحرمته, وكل فعل نفى الله سبحانه وتعالى الإيمان عن تاركه فلوجوبه. Or, if you don't do so and so, you are not a believer. That means whatever so-and-so is, it means it's a must, it's a wajib you have to do. So here, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you do any of those three, then you're not a believer, meaning you have committed a major sin. So sleeping with the spouse during the menstrual cycle or from the rectum, this is a major sin, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. قال الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله إن قوم لوط لما وقعوا أو ما وقعوا فيما وقعوا فيه من إتيان الذكور بعضهم بعضا إلا لما اجترأوا على أدبار النساء. Great شيخ, great فقيه المفسر عبد الرحمن السعدي, he said that the people of Lot عليه السلام, they did not do what they did, which is the sodomy, men sleeping with men. They did not rise to that level, but after they have transgressed the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and were sleeping with their spouses from the rectum. Yani, this is the beginning, and it's going to lead to something a lot bigger than that. And this is definitely, even when you have some little certain things, permissible things, like sometimes you have some scholars, they allow people to do simple things or little things, and you know people will exaggerate. They will not limit themselves to little things. They always go beyond. And that is why when you give fatwa, you have to really know whom you are talking to before you can give the fatwa, even if it is halal or acceptable. Another one is أن لا يكون الزوجان محرمين أو صائمين أو أحدهما محرم أو صائم. If you are in the state of ihram, naturally, you cannot sleep with your spouse, or if you are fasting, or any of you fasting. This is obligatory fast. In non-obligatory fast, if the woman is fasting and the husband interested in sex, she has to obey, because she has to take his permission to start with, because this is his right, and his right is advanced over what she is doing, because she's doing voluntary right. It's not the right that she is doing it, a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's Ramadan, then she would not, or she does not have to obey. Why? Because there's no obedience for a human being in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if in the time of Hajj, while you are in the state of ihram, this is prohibited. And also in the time of fasting, obligatory fast, neither one, either one the fasting or both, you cannot. But if it is voluntary fast, then the woman has to break her fast if her husband asked her. Therefore, she has to ask him before if it's okay for her to fast. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول أحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed for fasting people to approach their spouses during the night after they break their fast. We have spoken about that. One of the companions came, as Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported. He said, بينما نحن جلوس عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء رجل فقال يا رسول الله هلكت. A man came while they were, the companions, sitting with Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, O Prophet of Allah, I am doomed. So Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, مالك, why you are doomed? قال وقعت على امرأتي في رمضان أو وقعت على امرأتي وأنا صائم. I slept with my wife while I was in the state of fasting, and this is during Ramadan. Here is the solution. قال هل تجد رقبة? You find, do you have a slave that you can emancipate or free? He said no. He told him, can you fast 2 months? He said, Prophet of Allah, this is what really got me in the trouble. So he said no. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هل تجد إطعام 60 مسكين? Can you feed 60 poor people? He said, he hit his neck, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, wallahi, this is the only one I own in the first one. And then when it comes to feeding, he said, O Prophet of Allah, wallahi, I don't have food for me or my family. Look at the answer to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave him dates. He asked for his tribe, for the sadaqah that they have, took it and gave it to him, and he said, feed, and then feed your family. Now when he actually did that, we said, as we said before, he asked the people to go and present that question to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and none of them dared to go. When he went there, he went with a problem. He went with a possibility of Allah knows what the ruling is going to be. He came back with easiness and spacious, good answer from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are some things that people ask too much when it comes to sexual intercourse between husband and wife. Like تعري الزوجين والنظر إلى عورة الآخر. To be literally nude and look at the private of one another. There is no haram in that. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by one of the companions, عَوْرَاتُنَا مَا نَأْتِي مِنْهَا وَمَا نَذَرْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When it comes to our privates, what are we supposed to do? The ruling for that. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, احفظ عورتك إلا من زوجك أو ما ملكت يمينك. Safeguard your privates except from your spouse and what your right hand possesses. قالت عائشة, another proof. قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها كنا نغتسل أنا والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني من الجنابة من إناء واحد تختلف أيدينا فيه. I used to shower with Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is the shower after sexual intercourse, and our hand used to be basically touching one another while we were doing that. And naturally, يعني logically, there is a possibility that you don't look, but in general, it is almost very hard to shower two together without seeing. But this is not like the other proof. Here, you have a weak hadith that Prophet Muhammad, it was attributed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إذا أتى أحدكم أهله فليستتر ولا يتجرد تجرد البعير. He said, when some of you or any of you approaches his spouse, he should cover himself and not to be naked like animals. This hadith is not authentic, so it cannot be used as a proof for not being able to look. Also, another hadith reported by Aisha radiallahu anha, قبض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرى مني ولم أرى منه. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم died while he never saw my private and I did not see his private. Now, if this hadith were to be authentic, then we call that from the high ethical values. High ethical values, if a person has high ethics and he doesn't want to do that, doesn't want to look at that, then there is no problem in that. But does that make it haram? That is the question. No, there is no prohibition between a husband and a wife to look at one another when it comes to sexual intercourse. Second one, when we talk about masturbation, العادة السرية, the scholars of the Hanafi fiqh school يقولوا إما إذا أحاطت الرجل المعصية من كل مكان وجرب الصيام ولم ينفع ما فاضطر لأن يفعل ذلك من الباب ارتكاب أخف الضررين وأهون الشرين نرجو أن يسلم رأسا برأس فخوفه من الوقوع بالزنا طاعة وارتكابه لهذا العمل من أجل أن يكسر حدة شهوته لقربه من الزنا. يعني معصية صح معصية, but you have two evil things. You're doing a small sin to avoid a major sin. So if a person, they're saying that if a person is surrounded with temptation and he tried to fast and he tried all possible means to control himself and he couldn't and he's like approaching to commit zina, then masturbation is allowed in that case, because there is a fiqh rule that if you have two evil and you have to commit, you have to do one of the two, then you select the smaller evil and you avoid the bigger evil. The smaller evil is masturbation, the bigger evil is zina. If you were to know which one is haram, both haram, but one of them major sin and the other one, it's not a major sin. Also, من الأمور التي يكثر السؤال عنها مداعبة أحد الزوجين لفرج الآخر. The foreplay private with the privates. A lot of people ask that question. Can a person do this and can a woman do that? Here is the answer. الأصل أن كلا الزوجين محل استمتاع للآخر. If you remember before, we said this is like when you sign or when you say I accept the marriage, you are authorizing your wife and she is authorizing you to enjoy her body any way you want, as long as you are avoiding the prohibitions during the things that we mentioned during menstrual cycle and avoid the rectum, you are allowed to do all of that. So this is something that is well understood. The same way here, you can, if you look at it, is it menstrual cycle? No. Is it indirective? No. What is the conclusion? There is nothing that tells us haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nisa'ukum harthul lakum. Your women are yours. Enjoy yourself with them and avoid those two things. This is one thing that you can look at. So therefore, conclusion with that, there is no prohibition in doing that foreplay, regardless how you do it. Regardless how you do it, as long as some of the scholars condition, as long as cleanliness and hygiene is the highest. Others, they said that a person, a noble person, should not fall into things like that and should refrain from doing that except staying in the position where sleeping with his spouse the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, and should not fall into this. This is an opinion. As we said, the criteria is halal or haram. It is not if I want to get high ethics or not. It is not if I want to be shy or not shy. It is halal or haram. Now people seek higher ways of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some others don't. Some others limit themselves to halal and haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَةِ. Some people wrong themselves, and alhamdulillah, no one from us want to do that. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. Some of them, they limit themselves to halal and stay away from haram, and many of us like that. And some of them, سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَةِ, they are racing with good deeds. They do the obligatories, and they do the sunan, and they do recommended acts and everything. The point is it haram or not haram? That is what the people are looking for. It is not haram, but some people, if they say it's haram, it is an opinion. But do we go by opinions? We go by the proof. If there is a proof to say it's haram, then that's what we go by. But opinion are discarded as long as it is not resting on a solid proof. Another thing, Al-Hadith Atna Al-Jima'. Some people talk during sexual intercourse. Is it haram? Now here, what they're saying, there is no harm in doing that as long as it is something you like, then there's nothing haram with it. Of course, you have to avoid saying something haram, and you have to avoid in complete indecency, things that is not fitting for a believer or a Muslim, and that is not one of the things that a normal person like you or a believer like you would say. But generally talking, it is not haram. Tayyib. One thing that everyone needs to understand, men, they have a big gap called imagination. Their imagination is beyond what anyone could think. As a matter of fact, this is a problem that is been utilized by fashion designers. They understand what turns men on, and they design the clothing of women in such a way. So, this is something for you to know and for the spouse to understand. And the spouses have to fill that gap. Now, anytime a husband has a problem, the job of the spouse is to solve that problem, and vice versa. If the spouse has a problem, the husband's job is to solve that problem, because the purpose of the whole marriage is to live a happy life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to enjoy one another while we are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, another thing, that one of the objectives of marriage is to chaste one another. The husband doesn't want to look outside, and the woman does not want to look outside. And they are rewarded for this. They are rewarded. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدُكُمْ صَدَقَ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَ. That even the companions, when they heard that hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالُوا أَيَأْتِي أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُونَ لَهُ فِيهَا أَجْرٍ. Any of us would approach his spouse, sleep with his spouse, something that he likes, something that he wants, and he will be rewarded for it. Look at the ta'leel, look at the cause that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave for the companions, why you get reward for it. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ فِيهَا وِزْرٍ. Do you see, if he did that act with another woman different than his wife, would he get a sin? They said yes. And he said, so why do you count the bad and you don't count the good? If he sleeps with someone else, he's going to get punished. And if he does it in the right way, acceptable way, he deserves to get a reward. So it is something that we do with the intention, you get reward for it. So this is an encouragement for the husbands and for the wives to always keep in their mind, even when it comes to that relationship that we all desire and we all do, with the intention, you get rewards. With the submission, you get rewards. With the anything that you do to increase that or to make it pleasurable for the other party, you are rewarded for it in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also know that it is a must on the husband to suffice the need of his wife. Remember that we all the time we talk, the wife has to listen, the wife has to submit and all that. Also, the wife has her own needs and her own desires. And it is a must on the husband to fulfill the need of his wife. This is how the scholars understood. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ قَضَى وَطَرِ الزَّوْجَ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ الْمَأْمُورِ بِهِ الزَّوْجِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that they have duties to their husbands and they have rights upon their husbands with the common known things. And the scholar said, this is the common known things, or the rights upon their husbands, is to fulfill their needs and their desires. What if the wife interested and the husband is not interested? We talked about before, and you had some questions, people answering. Their husband is not responding. Here is something. Now, number one, women, wives have to understand their husbands. You don't live with someone and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to do certain things, and you have a relationship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't understand how to please the other side. If you know that you have to submit and you have this, you have to know what are your rights. I had a case, a problem with two spouses, basically. The problem really useless. I mean, nothing. It's not really a problem. It stems from what? They don't know their rights. The husband doesn't know what his rights upon his wife, and the wife doesn't know the rights upon her husband. My recommendation was, give them a copy. Here is, read this, understand this, fulfill this, you solve your problem. So here you have, a woman is interested. Well, she knows the husband. She knows the limitation of the husband. She knows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men. Now, it is up to her to use her imaginations, to use her skills, to use her method, whatever method that she can understand, to succeed in getting what she wants to get. For example, you have a woman can do so many things to arouse the man. She, in her talk, in her dress, You can talk, you can dress, you can dance, you can do whatever you want to do to entice or to arouse your husband. And then you fulfill your need. Also, she can tempt him with her body. You know, when you go in the streets and you are commanded to lower your gaze, women are, they're doing every possible thing to tempt men. And men are, these days, if you go to the mall, any noble man will try to avoid going to the mall unless they have a real need. Because everything is horrible. Everything is so haram. Now you have haram women out doing everything to entice men. And you are living with your husband, and you are rewarded for anything you do to please him, and you claim you love him, and you do none of that stuff. He has to go and see it outside, but at home would not see anything. And you heard the story of that guy, what he did to his wife. At home, she cleaned herself, no makeup, no hairdo, no dress, nothing. But she was going outside, she was what? Tip-top. Everything is perfect. Why? Because unfortunately, this is the ignorance of the two husbands. So the woman can do any of those things to accomplish what her husband, to accomplish what she needs. Here's an advice. One lady said that it was a story told by her mother, and her mother was told to her by her grandfather. This is a story that a woman came to one village to one of the scholars. She thought he was a magician. She didn't know he was a scholar. She asked him to do some magic for her so her husband would love her forever, and she would be the only woman for him. So he asked her one thing. He said, "Are you willing to fulfill the requirements?" She said, "I'm ready for it." He said, "I cannot do anything until or unless you bring a hair from a lion, from the head of a lion." She said, "Lion?" He said, "Yes." She said, "How is that? I mean, don't you have anything simpler than that?" He said, "No, this is the only way." And he said, "You will be able to get it. You just need to think hard." She started to think. She really wanted that to happen. She wants her husband to really love her or not. She loves him so much, and she's so jealous for him. So she went and she asked experts. She talked, read about the lion and everything. And she asked people, and they told her, "Listen, lions don't attack people unless they are really hungry." She got that. And they told her, "In order for you to accomplish anything like that, you just need to tame the lion, always make him full and all that, and you will do." So she took that advice and she went to the jungle. And she had lots of meat. Lion, throw meat, throw meat, throw meat. And she continued doing that every day, feeding the lion and getting closer, feeding the lion and getting closer, feeding the lion and getting closer, until the lion was so, felt so secure and safe with her, sat and rolled, and she was stroking his head and his neck, and she pulled the hair, and she was so excited, she ran to that scholar, and she thinks he's a magician. When he saw the hair, he looked at her and he said, "How were you able to do this?" She said, "Well, here's the story. I did this, and I asked, and I worked, and all that." He looked at her and he said, "Ya amat Allah, zawjuki laysa akthar sharasa min al-asad. If'ali ma' zawjik mithl alladhi fa'altihi ma' al-asad tamlikih." He told her, "Young woman, your husband is not more vicious than a lion. Do the same thing you did with the lion, and I guarantee you, your husband, you will own him." So you find a woman or the spouse, she understands her husband's. He spells every word for her. This is what I like, this is what I hate. I like this and I hate that. You can really earn him. You can earn him. And it's not only earning him, it's also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be rewarded for that. So, conclusion. Sexual relationship is a reality in this life, and there is no living without it. It is a very important aspect in our religion. The pleasure of the sexual relationship behaves the person, actually settles the person, makes him think more wisely, make him plan more, make him avoid stress. There's so many things that results, positive things, from fulfilling that need in the legal Shari'i way. And also, this is the right, a right of the husband and a right of the wife. It is the right of males and right of females. Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah yaqul, yani, if this were not to be fulfilled, then your religion is going to be affected. Your religion is going to be affected. And remember, final thing, that النكاح والإيمان هما العبادتان الوحيدتان مما يستمر في الجنة. Marriage and faith are the two obediences from all the obediences that we do that will continue to be with us in Jannah. Brother, when we talked about the Jannah, what's the biggest deal that you have in Jannah, and what is the most thing that you were looking for? Every person you talk about the Jannah, first thing comes to their mind is Hur al-Ain, right? Well, this is ibadah here, ibadah with your spouse. It continues in the Jannah. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and faith and all that will continue in the Jannah. Is there any prayer in the Jannah? Any fasting in the Jannah? None of those things. So this is basically final lecture in this topic. Next week, inshallah, which will be the last week, inshallah, and then after that I will be going overseas for 3 months, inshallah. Next week we will talk about that. We'll talk, this is a conclusion, this is a fun night. It's good information. It'll be talking poetry, it'll be proverbs, it'll be sayings, it'll be stories, it will be humor, everything, inshallah. We seal this topic, inshallah, with things related to that topic, but in cocktail style, basically, inshallah. For more, you can go to sunnahfollowers.net or imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com. My email, Imam or Imam Hassan or Hassan Imam or Isaac Imam or anyway you put it at centermasjid.org. And I haven't received any emails because Brother Jihad did not forward anything. So if anyone emailed and asked some questions, I was under the understanding that everything was forwarded to my personal email, and Brother Jihad did not do that. So, inshallah, when he forwards everything, I will answer all the questions. Taib, if you have any question, go ahead.
Yeah. The question is, if you're having intimacy with your spouse, and the time for Ramadan has started, but you have not had the chance to take a shower before fasting has started,
this is acceptable. This is simple. I thought it was worse than that. The shower is not doing the ghusl. It's not a requirement for fasting Ramadan. Yani, you can continue without shower, and your fasting is good. But of course, how long can you continue that? Until sunrise, because you need to pray Fajr. Okay, so hopefully it's not the question from someone who just fast Ramadan without praying, because some people do. So this is, I thought there would be a question like, if you're having sexual relationship with your spouse and the time of Fajr comes and you're still in it, what would you do? This is a, what's the answer to that?
It's a tough one.
You gotta stop. You gotta stop.
The other question is, you said that it is forbidden to masturbate, but your spouse can do it for the other spouse. What I'm asking, is it forbidden to masturbate period, or is it forbidden only when your spouse is on her menses?
No, anytime.
Or can you explain?
It's not forbidding at all. Anytime it is permitted, as long as it is done by the spouse. Either spouse.
Now the other question is, due to the fact that it is prohibited for a man to be intimate with his wife while she has a menses, does she mean that they have to also sleep in a separate bed to avoid temptation?
No. Why avoid temptation? I mean, fulfill the temptation. Fulfill the need. There is no need to sleep. I mean, how far is that bed? Different country, maybe.
The other one is, if the happiness of the husband is to see his wife naked to make intimacy more pleasurable, but the wife is too shy to show her body because she thinks she is ashamed of her body, is the wife committing a sin by not giving her the rights, the husband her right, his rights?
No, but she has to do her best to get over that. And it doesn't have to be total nakedness. I mean, she can be inventive and please him in many different ways. She needs to learn that she's doing that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things become easy. Anytime you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes easy. So I would suffer with my shyness. I would swallow. And actually, we talked about that before. This is an extra pleasure for her husband to see her shy. Actually, I don't think any husband wants to see his wife not shy. Because this is a situation where even the husband is shy. So this is preferred. Anyway, shyness is always good. Shyness is good, especially when it comes from a woman. That's it? You sure? Any questions here? You all experts? Tfadda.
Is it true that the practice of the Anbiya and the righteous believers to have as much sex with your spouse, can this one increase your iman?
Does what?
Agree and your family.
Oh, increase your iman to sleep with your spouse?
No, to fulfill or to kill your
Right. Well, of course. That's what I said. The positive aspects of that. You see someone not in need or satisfied sexually. His mind is well settled. His body, his thoughts, his plans, and everything. You've never seen somebody sleeping on the waking up on the wrong side of the bed?
No.
Well, one of the explanation of the scholars for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said that two of the things of this world that he liked, which is perfume and sleeping with his wife, the scholar said because it's an obedience, because it helps him to do more obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when his mind is settled and he doesn't have to think of all of that. There's so many explanations to it, and all of them are acceptable and correct because this is what it does. And you find many people in misery and stress and all that. Remember the story that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered and one of the women there, she looked sad and such, and it was because she's not, her sexual need was not fulfilled by her husband. This is natural and normal. We are created like that. I mean, there's no shyness in that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it rewarding to do it, and made it so pleasurable to approach it. Yani he did not say, okay, fast. Fast is hard. And we get rewards for it. But this thing, that's why the companion said, oh, we're doing something we like and we get rewards for it. Excuse me. So inshallah, there are many advantages for it. That's why we Muslim, we have too many children. Right? Because we get a lot of rewards.
Yes.
Ah, Sheikh Ahmed. Any questions? طيب جزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك
سليمان عليه السلام كم سليمان كم زوج كان عنده
سليمان عليه السلام well let's say about 300
300 wives
well we know from the hadith that